Hi guys, this is Alvin. Welcome back to Are You Okay Podcast. We use our voices, hopefully to inspire some of you guys to use yours too. So in today's episode, we have a very special guest. He's multi-talented. He sings in different languages. He also produces and writes his own music as well.
The intro sounds like you.
Huh?
Someone who was multi-talented.
I don't sing it like a lot of languages. Welcome, Gaston.
Hi everyone. My name is Gaston. Hi.
How are you?
I am okay.
Busy good. Today?
Am I okay? I'm okay.
Are you really okay?
We'll talk about it today.
Okay. Do you remember like how we met? Because I was trying to recall last night and I don't remember how we like met.
I don't think so because I'm all the while it's like I'm your fan. So
you are my fan. How yeah. come I never
and
know
then
about
I
this?
Think we meet through some events at Universal and everything. And
did we meet in office? I
at events I think
so.
Mostly
I remember
at events.
That time I went to your
yes.
office.
It's the content shoot.
It's a content
yeah,
shoot.
It was a content shoot. Yeah.
And then we went to Makan after that, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that's it. And then we only bump into each other during events.
At events and all, yeah.
Okay, so now I recall that was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So you were a child star before.
Uh-huh.
Can I mention that?
Yeah, sure. I was singing, last time I was singing in like this music class. Uh-huh. And they have this all these child children who are singing. Uh-huh. They're having all this performance training.
Mm-hmm.
And then, which I also partnered with record label. Mm-hmm. And I was actually signed at 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
2 years old?
2 years old. Like child singer. We sing nursery rhymes and Chinese New Year songs. So I was like,
but do you remember anything back then? Like, does it
kinda,
still...
Yeah, kinda. Like, I would, like look back at the albums and the music video and think about it. Yeah, kinda can... Piece,
because
puzzle.
I don't remember anything before I was 7 years old.
Okay.
Anything before is just like completely blank.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I only remember like snippets of like moments where I fell from a chair or whatever, but that's it. Like I don't remember the entire year.
Okay.
Or
okay.
the couple years when I was like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But you still remember, you still recall. Because you can sing
yes.
and memorize the lyrics when you were 2 years old.
I'm very bad at the memorizing part because I remember I look at the when I was young, very young, like the little baby guest, and I would just always look away and think about the lyrics.
Very
bad memory.
Back then,
now.
You don't have prompter, right?
Yeah, back then, tak ada lah. And then, yeah, I was just singing 2 to 10 years old, and then it was like a child label, like a child
mm-hmm.
star label,
mm-hmm.
and that contract really ended because we want to focus my studies,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not cute anymore. So, you know, you have to be cute. You gotta be cute. You
get
what I mean? Like everybody is like chubby and nice, and then we start to grow like taller, and then I was very chubby back then. It's like not so cute. That's giving.
And maybe
obesity.
Because like that one is like a kids label.
Yeah.
Maybe when you reach a certain age, you need to focus in your studies as well.
Yes.
So like after that, like so, it took you how long for you to realize your passion is actually still in music?
And then my mom, we talk about in our family, we say, maybe it's time for us to focus in our studies because I was from Johor
mm-hmm.
and then it's always coming up to KL because the label is in KL and it's always back and forth working and then studies, working in studies.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to actually go back to school
mm-hmm.
and focus just in studies. But I felt like no matter everything I do, I always go back to music. And then
so when you were studying in high school and stuff, like, do you have an ambition where you want to like pursue other careers? Because back then, I still remember when I was in high school, we have to fill in mm-hmm. like, what's your
career choice.
Yeah, choice? Like, what do you feel like you want to do in the future and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Do you always write like music producer or like you want to be a singer?
No. I never visualized myself doing that after child star period because I feel like it's a bit unrealistic and it kind of is a bit... traumatic as well.
Oh yeah,
because it kind of took away my
childhood. Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I was really putting music aside.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like every time when I have time, I will jam on the piano, and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I never
as a
really
hobby.
Yeah, I never really learned music, but I would just always jam on the piano, and I would just always go back.
So what were your choices during high school?
The choices Actually, I don't really know what I wanted, but I always do singing like a hobby. I really don't really look at it as a career. And then I was actually in science. So before I took Mass Comm as my major in college, I was actually considering to do dentistry. Because I had an accident when I was really young kid. And then I was like, always going back to the dentist place and then spending my mom's money. I was like, being a dentist could maybe earn a fortune, you know. And I told my mom, I want to do dentistry. And I was so close into applying to the dentistry uni in India to fly there. And then, but then my mom just said, I hope you can
go into a
course that can have more flexibility when it comes to the career path later on. So I actually picked Mass Comm, which I interned in Universal Music, where I see how labels work, and then I was like, what if on the stage right there is not me, it's not the star, but it's me?
So it's during your internship in Universal Music you realize you want to be on the stage.
And I was actually also told by one of our colleagues back then, say, can you stop singing, like, this is not for you.
Really?
Yeah, and which I also felt like it's quite hard.
Do you still see that person around?
Yes.
Really?
But she meant it in a very good way. She meant it like, perhaps maybe your pronunciation was a problem. And then maybe you should stop singing English songs. And then maybe you should sing Mandarin songs.
I got that a lot.
That kind of comments.
I got that a lot. So my story is like when I started singing Malay or like trying to act in Malay or trying to like speak English or even like sing English songs, like I got that a lot. From people, but I just didn't care. Like I used to care a lot, like what people say, but if it is something that makes me happy, so why don't we just give it a try.
I believe if Jungkook from BTS could sing the whole song with a Korean accent and it's still a hit, and there's so many people who love and support him, and why not we just sing it with our own identity. So
yeah, I also find it's very, very funny where, like, you know, when a Thai celeb or a Korean celeb sings in English or like speak in Chinese, even though with their own accent, people still are very supportive. And I always believe during the process of building your career or doing something that you love to do, it's tough, but eventually when you have result, people will start listening to you. So my story was when I was deciding to go into the Malay market acting scene, a lot of the people in the industry say, Alvin, you're so stupid.
How, like, did it start? Is it because I know you play one of the biggest roles, and which actually
as the drama was a hit. I was very lucky.
The drama was hit, but what was the decision like? Like, did you actually thinking like you want to make a try or like?
Oh, I went for casting for a year, but I never gotten any feedback from any production houses.
All right.
So it's like when I was about to give up.
Okay.
And then a producer called and gave me the role in the drama itself.
Okay.
That got the hit and got very popular. I was very lucky. But you know, when you don't have any result for the one whole year, people just trying to say like harsh things to put you down. But once you have result, the same people will come to you and say like, congrats, how did you do it?
Yes.
I feel like these people are like very two-faced. So from that onwards, I feel like if I decided to do something new, something completely out of whatever I was doing before, I'll just go for it. Because I already knew the process is tough. Because people will be like, oh, why are you changing your path right now? Why are you doing so many things at this moment? Yeah. Even like for this podcast, I'm not very fluent in English, to be very honest. But then I want to challenge myself. Because if you get too comfortable in something, you just start to get lazy. Because you're so used to the working schedule. It's the same thing. You meet the same people. Yes. But if you give yourself some challenges, it'll push you further. And it'll remind you that you can actually do more. But why not you try to just do it and don't care about what other people say. Eventually, when you have results, I'm pretty sure you can relate. So when you first started as a duo, right? So when you came out by yourself, I'm sure you have questions like why the group is not happening anymore, what happened and stuff.
A few things from there I like to pick up. Like, first thing is like, oh, my sister's name's Jay. So it's like, you're Jay's brother. You're Jay's brother. Like, all this while my sister has been the successful one, and she's one who made it way before when I was still a student, and then like an intern doing back-end work and everything, trying to be a singer, be an aspiring singer. So I'm always that Jay's brother, But now when I felt like people recognize me by my name, I felt being seen, and it feels awesome. Like it takes really a long journey and for yourself to not lose faith in yourself as well.
Yeah.
And also like the part where you said people just change their attitude towards you when they see the success. It's the exact same people who say, why are you invited to this event? Like, why are you even invited to this event? And then when you blow up, like I remember the exact same person in a week later saying like, I want a picture with you. And this just feels off. Like, why would people feel like that? Fake. So I feel, So I feel like it becomes like a reminder not to look down in anybody.
Yeah, because definitely
anybody has the potential to become someone.
So I still remember when I was still very active in the Chinese entertainment industry, right? So I approached a few like Chinese artists' friends to do collab. Like, you know, just something very casual, like covers or like some online content. And they told me, oh, I don't think it's up to me to decide. I have to like go through management. Or some would say like, oh, it's not something we wanted and stuff like that. So I find like, oh, some even ask me like, oh, do we get paid?
Oh, okay.
So they're asking me to pay them to do the collab. So I was like, this is something fun. Because if you look at the other countries of, for example, like the US market or like the UK or whatever, Australians,
we're open for collaborations.
When
right?
they are into music, when they are passionate about music, they just don't care like how much money they're getting. They do it because they love it and just want to have fun. So when you when you're in love with something, when you do something with love, eventually people would see it and start liking you. And it's for our own good anyway.
Yes.
Like back then, my era, it's like it's so hard to produce one single, maybe like once a year, twice max in a year. So like it's not enough for you to promote yourself. And I feel like these people are very, very conservative, and which is why I decided to hop into the Malay industry. Because back then a lot of people asked me like, why don't you go Hong Kong, why don't you go Taiwan, why don't you go China? It's not easy because like I have nobody. Back then I was like independent. I literally have nobody to help me. And then to go there, you need to have a team to help you, like, you know, to get license, visa, to get to know the culture and stuff. So for me, it's like a no-go. So I decided to tap into whatever I can reach, so which is the Malay scene. So I tried for a year, as I mentioned earlier, and didn't get any results. So I decided to change my career path, which I don't want to be an artist anymore. And then I guess God answered my prayers and gave me another path, so which is like kind of cool. So and
look at you now, oh my God,
I'm still a peanut.
I mean, it takes a lot of courage to say like let go and also to say goodbye to your past and take on a new journey. Because I feel like as someone who I'm someone who works, I'm confident because of my past experiences. I'm that kind of person. So when I have to let go of my experiences and take on like an unknown path, to me, it takes a lot of
courage, effort.
Courage and just back and forth. Like, are you sure? Are you sure? Do you want to try? And then I told myself, just go try it before, you know, you make any comments about it. Like, why is the fear stopping? And I mean, look at yourself. Like, this is... Look at you now, like, and look at the Alvin back then.
Oh.
And, like,
compare. Yeah, yeah. I've grown a lot.
I'm very happy for you. Very happy for you.
Thank you. And also, like, this podcast is entirely something new for me. If you've seen me in person before, especially the last few years, I'm not a very talkative person. Like, I'm not who I used to be. Because back then, I used to socialize because I was afraid people might not like me. Or I wanted people to like me.
It's Aquarius trait. Don't worry.
That's why I was like trying so hard to like communicate with people or trying to get to know people or trying to make connections and stuff like that. But now I decided to stay true to myself.
Yes.
Which I only voice out when I'm needed to. And this podcast is something really challenging for me because I'm not used to hosting a program.
Yep.
Like I need to like talk to the guests and, you know, make conversation, trying to open up. The reason why I do this is mm-hmm. also because I feel like in podcasts, you can share more,
mm-hmm.
but with like interviews and stuff, there are some restrictions. You cannot say too much, or maybe mm-hmm. because of the airtime limitation, you cannot really like share much
mm-hmm.
and people might not get to know you as much. But with a setting like this, with a setup like this, I feel like we are more comfortable
mm-hmm.
On the couch and just like sharing our thoughts and opinions about stuff.
I feel it's a good chance for people to know your stories because I do notice that, you know, after a few meeting up with you at events or like at some work together, I do notice that you are quite a quiet and reserved person.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and I mean, there's nothing bad or anything about that. I just wonder what happened to him before. Like, what was the story behind? And then I watch your podcast, and then knowing your family background and then your what you have pushed through. I was like,
I was like,
that explains a lot. Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like there's this quote I really believed in. There are trauma that we can't heal, and it's a scar. But that scar makes us a warrior. Like that makes us change.
Yeah.
For the good, for the bad, I don't know. But that made us...
Definitely for the good.
Definitely, I hope
you had the scar before, you wouldn't want to have another scar. The same scar.
And make you stronger.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I feel like this podcast definitely make me know more better than before as well.
Mm.
So yeah, I just want to pick up something from where you said you feel like you don't belong in the Chinese scene.
Yeah,
I do have my thoughts as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking back, just last year, mm-hmm. 2022, now 2023, and just looking at my releases, my content,
mm-hmm.
it's 360 different. I'm not sure if you noticed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then people be like, what's wrong with Gaston? Like, what happened? And I do feel like I don't belong there as well.
Don't belong where? In the Chinese market?
Yes.
Or like, you don't know where you belong?
I both. I feel like I don't know where I belong. So I want to start from the Chinese part yet. So how it became a career is after I become the interns and like having an idea of how labor works. And I was like, I'm so excited. I was like, I told my sister ended her contract. She was in a girl group back then.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if you remember. And then I was like, sis, I want to be your manager.
Mm.
And then she asked why. And I said, because I feel like it's so hard to actually penetrate the scene nowadays. Mm. It's so saturated, so competitive. And I'm just an ugly potato. I told my sister, I said, I want to be your manager. I want to help you to do whatever you like. Because I know that she wasn't quite happy with the previous
management
as well. And she said, why? I say, hard. Then she say, why not? I say, I felt like my dreams is so far.
Hmm.
And she said, what are your dreams? I say, I want to make impact with music.
Hmm.
And I don't feel like I'm the right person to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, why don't we do together? Like, I need someone to write songs. She said, I need someone to make music as well. So we became a duo.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were content creators. And then we were very lucky. It was a very short span of time where we have the followers and everything. And then through that hype, we release our songs, and that's how we really slowly building this empire, this company as well that I'm having right now.
Yep.
And then that's where people know me, and then I was signed to a China label.
Yep.
Yeah. So it was a 1-year contract, and we were trying to go to China for like the TV shows, like talent shows.
Especially. Let me guess, COVID hits.
Yeah. And I remember it was 1 year. And I actually auditioned for 10 TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I starved myself. And because I was very conscious of how I look and how I can be better to fit into the industry standards in China, I actually lost 14 kg back then.
Mm-hmm.
I was very skinny. I was bony at one point.
Yeah. You wanted that so bad.
Yes.
So you wanted to be seen and you wanted to have a chance of China can see you as a talent, as an artist itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, many of us like just don't understand. Like they might think that we do all this effort because like they don't understand our effort.
They are not in our shoes to see what motivated us and the sacrifices that we have made, I guess, in generally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt my motivation is because I wanted to grow. I felt like I wanted to learn more about production. I want to look at how their TV shows work. I want to step into their studios and everything. Mm-hmm. I just want to be there. And then I, like I said, like I made so much sacrifices, but I don't get a lot of supportive people. So online, there are people who said, whenever there's news talking about, oh, Gaston is auditioning for this and that, there will be comments saying that, yo, cut your IC lah. Just go lah. Just, if you can, cut your blue card. Like, they just say, like, just cut your IC. Because, like, you don't belong here. And then you are a betrayer dog. Like they would just give you these kind of names. Mm-hmm. I just felt like my passion and my dreams for this bigger stage, bigger opportunities is not being... I don't even say support. I don't even want the support at that point.
Recognize.
Just like, you don't like effort. It. You don't like it. Just leave me alone, right?
Yeah, and then, yeah.
And then I've just felt like, why? And then COVID hits. So I didn't get to go on any of the shows that I auditioned. Mm-hmm. And then I ended my contract with the label.
Yeah.
Where I came back to home ground and look at what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that's the first identity crisis that hit in. Mm. I just felt like, who am I now? Like, we were doing Chinese socials, so like Douyin, Xiaohongshu, and then I did not miss my streak for uploading 242 content, like daily videos on Douyin. Mm-hmm. So it was like every day I film and record my covers, and I did not break the streak for 240 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was so tiring, and people just give you all this, you know, toxicity comments to me, and then even under my content as well, like, oh, you just want to be famous, oh, they just don't get the sentiment, because I just want to have a chance to go to an environment for me to learn,
like a new environment for you to explore.
I was very eager to find opportunities.
I totally get that all these people are not important
because
they are not going to pay you for anything. Because they already tried to condemn you. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure they are not your supporter.
Yes.
They're not going to stream your song. Maybe they stream your song just to like condemn you. But then...
That's great.
but then like they won't spend a single more cent on you.
That's true.
Mm. Or they won't even come to an event.
Mm.
So why care so much?
And I feel like you do what you feel
Yeah, best. As long as the thing...
You feel happy, yeah, but
satisfied
not
you.
What... Like, you're not supposed to please them. And then
you're
supposed to do what you feel best. And
you cannot please everybody.
Yeah,
you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Even like Jackson Wang has haters. Or even like some of the K-pop band has their own haters as well.
Yeah, correct.
So like for me, it's just the way of thinking. Just like trying to... I don't look at comments anymore.
Mm.
I used to care so much.
Yep.
But now it's like if I accidentally see it, I'd be like, meh. Like, I appreciate my supporters. Mm-hmm. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But haters, come on, if you don't like me, don't watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't search my profile. Like, don't engage.
Yes.
It's simple as that. It's the same as if I don't like something, I'm not interested in something, I won't go look for it.
Yep.
If you have nothing good to say, keep it to yourself or just move past or like just ignore.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something good to say, just say like, hey, it's a good song, keep it up. Like, it won't cost you anything.
Yeah.
The same words, the same mouth coming out from your mouth and you type it out.
Yes.
Why can't people just be nice and good?
Yeah.
And if you cannot be nice and good, just be quiet. You know, like, don't engage. As simple as that.
But I do believe that all these haters is good because it just proves that you are under this very big exposure. So you are exposed to people who love you and hate you. So when you have more haters, it means that you are more famous.
More famous is one
thing.
So I
was like, that's great. So I mean, that's good exposure.
I mean, if you can think like that, then it's good. If you're not affected by those comments.
Yeah, I'm not. Definitely not.
Yeah. So, which is kind of nice.
It took some time to let go until I felt like when there was my moment where I really let go of hate comments is when they comment on my looks. Because like my nose, it, like,
something
it's
you cannot
big.
Change what it is.
I was like, my mom gave me this face, and then if that's the only thing that you can attack
Picked
on me, that means there's nothing else. I was like, your argument is invalid. Like,
yeah, it's valid. Totally.
Like, so agree on that's that. The point where I start to let go. I feel like people can say things that don't make sense, and why are we supposed to believe that?
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely.
And also, like, I've seen some of your Douyin contents. You basically like make multiple languages covers, which I find very impressive.
Thank you.
Like, how many languages have you been doing? Like 7, 9?
In the songs itself can be 7 to 8. Depends on I how much I can do. But if you really say speaking, I'm something close like you. So it will be Malay, English, Chinese, a little bit of Korean, a little bit of Japanese, a little bit of Thai. And then the others is just, I really love the culture. So I start to learn and pick up, and I can sing now, but I hope I can speak in the future. Yeah.
So all these six languages, you can sing in them.
Yeah.
But how do you write your lyrics? Do you have like help or like Google?
I do translate, but then because I am a musician myself, so I have to make it sound, I do a lot of research as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at how that language, say Spanish, how Spanish writers write their lyrics. And then I go and study. Mm-hmm. And then I try to, with, you know, help of an app translation, and I try to make it make meaning and also rhyming. I think the hardest part is to make it rhyme.
Because you don't really understand the language itself. So yes, you don't know whether they really sing in that formal sentences.
Yes.
But it's quite an effort. Like, to make a cover, you need to do research, you need to write the lyrics, and you also like cross-check whether it's the real meaning of the song, the way you sing it and stuff like that.
Because I listen to a lot of like Spanish songs, Korean songs and Japanese songs. So I would write it in a way that I would maybe sometimes I would change the lyrics to lyrics I've heard before, to lyrics that make sense. So I think that really helped me. Yeah. And then I was very grateful that I was doing all this. We were talking about the Douyin thing, everything, right? All these Douyins really make people realize me. And then I stopped doing all that when I stopped the contract. Okay. So I was like, what should I do now? Like, I ended this contract with that. And 1 year, we were so laser focused in auditioning and doing Douyins. And then what should I do now? And then I look at the local market. So we have our Malaysian Chinese singers who are, I would put it in this way. So like the top Malaysian Chinese artists right now in Malaysia, their genre are very localized.
Yep.
So they would bring, I'm very proud of that, they would bring their identity as Malaysian Chinese, and they would introduce all these kind of elements in their song and put it into the in music. So even like, I'm very proud when, say, Trippie, their songs are big in Taiwan, because Taiwan people can get to learn about Klang. They made a song about Klang.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I look at the local scene. I even had a talk, it's not Trippie, some other seniors from the Malaysian Chinese scene talk to me, say, where are you? Like, because I took a break. They asked me, where are you? I know that you're so talented and everything. Why did you stop everything? I said, I need a break, because I don't know what I want now. And I feel like if that's the top, I don't want to do that, because I don't have that. I don't want to force myself to become who I'm not. Because say 3P, they are from Klang, and they have that background who make them, like, they are so proud of their background and everything, and they just introduce it in their original music. And that's something I have high respect for that.
Yeah.
But I cannot do that, because I'm just a suburban kid from JB, and there's not much to talk about. And then I don't speak with a Klang accent or like a JB accent. I speak with a neutral Chinese. And then I don't have all the elements that I could put in. And then this senior had a talk with me. He's like, why do you stop doing Chinese music? Can you give me an answer? I just don't get it. Like, he in a way, he was quite furious. He said, why did you give up on your career? Then I was like, and I started crying.
But I don't think you were giving up. Then, you were just trying to figure out like what you want to do. Like, where do you fit in?
And start crying. And I realized I did not heal from the trauma. Where people say they want me to cut my IC. They want me to cut my ID card. Like, I feel like doing Chinese music here is not being even supported by the locals.
Yeah.
I have that sentiment. I feel like I don't belong here. Because the music I listen to, the things I want to create, they say, oh, you're trying to be a K-pop idol, or you're trying to be this person. And then it's just very discouraging. So I decided to take a break and then doing TikTok, singing Malay songs. And I went on your path. And then I was singing there was over 100 Malay songs that I was singing on TikTok. I used the same tactic. I was like, okay, now I'm on my own. I want to do something here. I don't want to think about it a minute. I don't want to stop anymore.
Yeah.
So I do everyday Malay song covers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was singing all the songs from the top charts. Mm-hmm. And I realized most of the songs are Indian songs.
Yeah.
So where they also started to learn a little bit of like Indonesian language and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy because it helped me to grow my TikTok where it hit 1 million. But the fans are all from Malaysia and Indonesia.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was, oh no, the second identity crisis. I was like, I don't speak as fluent Malay as Alvin. Like,
don't compare.
I'm just saying, like, I cannot take this as my career. Like, I've been building this for what? Why did I do that? It's because I want to do something.
Yeah.
I talk to TikTok. I say, I really want to grow my TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a singer. What can I do? Then the person from TikTok is like, just do what the mass media wants, which is sing Malay or Indian songs,
mm-hmm.
which are sad songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I made 100 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I had my follow account.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the big four labels here in Malaysia. I met them all individually. They all made a deal for me, but I said no to all because they want me to sing sad songs only for 3-4 years. And I felt that's not for me. That's not me.
Yeah.
And then that's when the identity crisis hit it again. It's like, why? What did I sign up to? Like, why did I sing all these covers and then lead to opportunities that I don't know what I should do about?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then attracting things that I am not even comfortable singing. It's not that I'm not comfortable. I love sad songs and everything. But I feel like musically, I have other dreams. I want things that are poppy. I like things that are R&B, hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
But then the labels say that if you really want to look at your career build and you want it to really grow, that's the way. So, like, one of the talks that I had with one of the major label is that one of the head of the A&R actually talked to me. And then...
Ding, ding, ding.
And then? So he gave this A and B choice. Like, to me it's like do or die. Because in his words, he's saying, like, do you want to be big and sing in a genre that you don't like? Or do you want to be whatever you like? Maybe smaller, maybe whatever, but you're definitely happy as an independent artist. And he made me think about it. And then I think in one day I have an answer, because I believe in intuition.
Mm-hmm.
When you're fighting something, I believe a lot in soulful enlightenment, universe and all that. I believe in, like, sometimes I like to study about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it in the law of the universe, it says that when you're fighting your intuition, the intuition comes from a higher self where the future you has experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't go that way, you're being someone else.
Yeah.
And then I felt like at that point, my intuition is so strong that I'm fighting it when they say you need to do maybe Malay songs, sad songs for 3 years, only slow songs. I say, I want to do like fast songs and everything. And then the major label say, we have a lot of R&B Malay artists, we don't need you. Like,
You can be better or you can be slightly different, so, because like nobody is Gaston. Like, you know, there's no Gaston in the industry.
So at that day, it was like, only sad songs or you can be whatever you like as an independent, but you have to gauge your own success. So like, what do you want to be? But, and then instantly in that day, I was like, I want to be happy.
Yeah.
I want to be happier because I've been lost for the past like 2-3 years. I feel like I've wasted the best time of my life. I think COVID took everyone's life.
Mm-hmm.
But I also spent it on here and there. But definitely, I definitely don't regret, because it definitely made me who am I right now. Because I feel like I've also gained traction from here and there and everything. Mm-hmm. And I've also gotten opportunities after my TikTok rose. I've gotten attention from some brands, and that's why I slowly rebuild and rebrand myself again.
Yeah. So you found yourself along the way.
Yes, yes, yes.
So now you are very content, like whatever you're having right now. Yes,
and much happier, definitely much happier. But And then it leads me to the independent artist and I start to release English songs. And I have my problem as well. It's the Chinese tongue. It's the Asian tongue. Where it's so hard when there's linkers, there's words that you need to connect. And it's very obvious when you go into the studio. And then it has to make up when it's hearing itself. Mm-hmm. And then I actually had to hire vocal coaches to help me with that. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I felt like I don't write as fast as I write in Chinese. And what to do about it. And it's definitely a struggle for me. But I feel much happier because my genre, the sound that I like, the poppy R&B sound, the hip-hop sound that I like, I can do it in this genre without a problem.
Yeah, I love your new track.
Yeah, thank you. I love your new song too.
But I didn't write that song. But I really, when I hear the song, it's like, wow, this is going to be a hit. Or at least like something that I would like.
Thank you.
Like, you know, it's something new and fresh to the market as well.
Thank you. And so I want to ask you.
I'm scared.
No. Like, I said all that because I don't think I would say to any podcast because no one would resonate better than you. Because you've been all through this different industries and definitely many different comments. And definitely you have different thinking at different phases.
Yeah.
What do you think about it? And what was your experience when you were doing Malay music?
To be honest, like I wasted almost...
You felt that you wasted?
4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Because back then when I was signed to a label, I was desperate. To be honest, because I was recognized in the industry, Malay industry, as an actor, but not as a singer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I still have a huge passion in music. So when I was signed to the label, the A&R team told me like the same thing. You want to make it big, you have to sing ballad, sad songs.
Maybe it's the same label.
Okay. Maybe it's the same label. Yeah. I don't know. We will never know. And then at that moment, the A&R team told me, okay, if you want to make it big, you have to sing this kind of genre. And I was like, okay, fine. I'll sing whatever you want me to sing. Send me the demos. So all the previous, at the very beginning stage of my Malay singing career, it's not up to my decision. They send the demos to me. I go to the studios, record it. Frankly speaking, I didn't like any of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
But because they say this is the only way to make it to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I didn't make it. because it's not something that I wanted. Like, I don't feel it when I sing it because it's not me. Like you said, when you were performing that song, when you're talking about the song, when it's not you, it's hard because you are not happy when you're working performing. Yeah. So I think the audience can feel it.
That's why there's this quote to say, you know, us as artists, if we create from here, not here, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Because it's not art. Art comes from here.
Yes, yes. So and when you write music or when you sing music, you have to love it.
Yes.
Before you show it to the world.
Yep.
And I strongly believe that. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy you finally came to that realization where this is the right path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some songs, like we know it might not be what the market wants. Yeah. But it's what we like and what we love. And this is how we build our identity. You know, I was an artist since I was 18.
Yep.
Like 2009. So 2009 until 2022, I'm still looking for my identity.
Yep.
Until this year, I finally like know what I want and what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more verbally and also aggressively command fight and for demand what I wanted.
Mm.
And I'm very thankful that I found a team that really understand me right now. And so for me, it doesn't matter how many years you took. As long as you already know what you wanted to do and what makes you happy.
Yes.
And it's already good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't let anybody else tell you if you want to succeed, you have to do this. Because if it's not who you are, okay, even if you succeeded singing Malay sad ballad song, you succeeded. But suddenly, if you want to be true to yourself, you want to change your direction, what would the fans feel? Oh, meaning throughout the whole past few years, this is not the real Gaston that we know.
Yeah.
So it's like you're married to a person and only realize that he's not or she's not the person that you really fell in love with.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge setback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like betrayals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have manipulated the fans.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask you about, like, because I used to sing covers from time to time. Mm-hmm. And after some time, I feel like I don't want people to find me if, let's say, touch wood, like, I'm more famous in singing covers.
As a cover artist.
It's a cover artist. So when I finally release my original music, like, no people would want to listen to me because...
That's me.
So yeah. That's why I want to ask you, like, you know, what? How do you balance it? Like, you know, because singing covers, yes, music is your passion, yes. Generally. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter, like, what kind of music that you sing or you perform, people want to hear from you. If you love music, you should be able to, like, you know, listen to any genre of music.
Yeah.
That's why you love music. But when you were telling your own story, you want to write your own music, which is like it could be like a different total genre.
Yes, and also produce in the genre that you like. Yep.
Yeah. So, like, how do you, like, balance... Because if you sing many, many covers, like, your fans would be like, why don't you do songs like the covers that you sang?
Mm.
How do you balance it?
I just say that I'm the kind of person who don't feel, like, damn happy. I mean, maybe my background is a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I identify myself as a songwriter now.
Mm-hmm.
So when... I have a content, like a cover song, blew up, say it's a K-pop song. I don't feel happy, actually.
Then why do you make it in the first place?
I need numbers. And okay. I want people to recognize me first.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do whatever I like with it.
Afterwards?
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't feel disappointed when people don't support my music,
mm-hmm.
like my original music, because mm-hmm. I know that... People who came to my channel to watch my TikToks, like my covers of the K-pop bands, are the fans, the fandoms mm-hmm. from the K-pop bands.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can use that as a tool, I don't want to say use that as a tool, but use it as a chance yeah. to let people see my talent, my face, my mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. this person,
mm-hmm.
that'd be great.
Yeah.
So that's the only way I feel like. It's not like I use that as a tool because I love
mm-hmm.
I love K-pop.
Mm-hmm.
I love this covers that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I only cover songs that I love.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Yep. I understand that. But for me, it's a total different
including scenario. One and only.
Thank you. That was the first song that I wrote actually in Malay.
Ooh.
Okay. So for me, it's a different, completely different scenario. I'm not a music producer. Mm-hmm. Like, I only started to write my own songs since the end of last year. So when I decided not to sing cover that much anymore mm-hmm. because I want to stay true to myself, because, like, there was one time, like, this restaurant I like to go to, they used to sell, like, local cuisines. And all of a sudden, they start selling, like, Western cuisines.
Mm-hmm.
Like Western menus
mm-hmm.
In their restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Then I stopped going there.
So
when it comes to my career, I feel like the only way for me to be happy in my career path is always staying true to yourself.
Yep.
Like, I want to be happy in every process. Even the project or the campaign itself, it's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
But if the progress itself, I know everyone is giving their 200%. I am giving my 200%.
Mm-hmm.
That's good enough. Because if you never try, you never know. Just like this podcast, like none of the artists from the major labels are doing podcasts.
Mm.
I'm the first one.
That's so good. That's a brave move.
And for me, it's I don't care about what people say. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I know my English is not perfect. But as long as you understand me, the audience understand me,
mm-hmm.
I'll still do it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I know the motive of this podcast too is to inspire people to have their own voice.
Yes.
And because there are so many things restricted outside of this podcast.
Yep.
You know, like when we were only focusing in the Chinese market,
mm-hmm.
we have to be very politically correct. We have to be nice. We have to show that we are idle, always smiling.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is we are just human.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are times that we feel sad, we feel angry, we feel disappointed. We feel like we want to hit someone in the face.
Mm-hmm.
That's just human nature, and I want to embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay for you to be not okay. And I feel sure. like nowadays, like with Gen Z, with social media, people like you being you.
Mm.
And I want to embrace and also encourage people to do that.
And I think it's a brave move to do things that non-existent before.
Mm.
You know, a singer actor who owns their own podcast, and that's something, and that's definitely something out of your comfort zone as well. I know you're someone who is quite reserved, and you know you don't really talk about feelings. You know? It must be very hard for you.
Oh, I found my outlet. I started to write my own music since last year, right? So this year,
music.
I wrote four songs. Mm-hmm. Like I co-wrote with some of my friends.
Wow. So,
but I felt nice. Huh? I felt good because even though some genres is something like very niche, I feel like it doesn't matter. Like I don't care whether like 10 people likes it or like 200 people likes it.
Yeah.
I just feel like if I can sing songs that I can resonate with, I can relate with, whoever likes it, then it's good enough for me.
Yes.
And that's the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the identity thing, I want to ask you these questions. Like, do you feel like the you on stage, on social media, have much difference than the real you?
Yes.
Very much different.
I think so.
Why? Because why?
If you really go to my socials, you look at my work more.
Yeah.
Maybe just photos. But I don't really talk about me. I don't really talk about what I go through. I don't really
What
talk
about interviews?
I don't have much.
Do you show your true character or your true personalities? For me, nowadays, everything is on my face. If the host or like the whatever is asking me some questions that I don't like, if I don't like, it's very obvious on my face.
And then it means your words are got problem,
No, because I feel like you need to make a stand. Like there are something. Yeah, maybe it's not proper me. It's not proper for me to say it. But I feel like artists sometimes are being taken advantage of by other people.
Yep.
Because we were known, especially Chinese artists, we were known as, we don't know how to fight back. We don't know how to have a stand. We don't know how to have the boundaries.
There's this quote I really believe in, I would like to share.
Mm-hmm.
It says that doesn't mean that you doesn't mean that winning someone's heart, you have to lose respect for that. You get what I mean? Like winning someone's heart doesn't mean that they have to lose the respect for you.
Mm-hmm.
You can voice whatever you want and being like at the same time. Yeah. Why would you wanna have someone who like you but don't respect you, right?
Yes.
So why not have both? So I think whatever you say is true.
Okay, there's this one funny story I want to share. It's I don't really put seniority as priority.
Okay, yeah.
So meaning you being in the industry for many, many years, or you have many, many experience, doesn't equivalent to the respect that I should give you.
Yeah.
It's how you react and interact with the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
If you are long in the industry,
yeah,
but you have not much of result, but you treat people nicely and communicate nicely, I would respect you like top tier. But if you are someone that has a lot of experience, but you don't respect newcomers.
Spill the tea. What's up?
And you don't listen to newcomers. Always feel like you are always right.
Okay.
I wouldn't even look at you.
So what's the story?
There's no story. There's just like some.
I thought it's building up to a story.
Some producers or some people that holds a really high position in the company or the client. Like for example, CEO or MD or whatever, head or whatever. It's just if you don't know how to respect people, because I observe not just to me, to my team, to my people.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to respect them, like you can. Comment on how they work, or like maybe my team is not good enough. You can say it in the right way.
Be constructive.
Yeah, be constructive and have some respects towards people.
Some sensitivity.
Doesn't matter you're old and you can just bully people and say like really harsh things and doesn't really take care of other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
If I meet people like that, I would say I would never want to work with that person anymore.
Mm.
I don't care how much money you give me.
Yeah.
Like, that's my limit.
Mm.
That's my boundary. Mm-hmm. If you cannot do that, or even like I choose to not work with certain producers because they always feel like they are right. But I write my own music now. So I'm the one singing it.
Yep.
You should at least hear me out. Hear me out and then try it. If it doesn't work out, then we go with your way. Because I'm also in my learning process.
Yes.
I want to be better. And I hate the phrase where, oh, I'm long enough in the industry. I have a lot of results. You should listen to me. That's also my red flag because you're not the one singing it. You're not the one that's going to sing these songs forever.
Yep.
And also, like, I wrote the song.
Yeah.
You should at least hear me out. Come on. Right?
You are the crafter of the craft.
Yeah. So, like, nowadays, I don't really care, like, you know, whether you have, like, 20 years, 30 years experiences. If you don't know how to respect people,
yes,
that's it. Full stop.
Attitude is out to deal.
Yeah. Nowadays, I only work with people who are willing to communicate, like young producers. Yeah. So the moral of the story, if you want to do something, something that you like, something that you love, something that you are passionate about, just go for it. Like, just at least try it. Because I always believe, never, ever have any regrets in your life.
Yes.
Because if you never try it, you will never know. Okay. If you fail, for sure you will learn something out of it. I think this should be on TikTok.
The mistakes make you
grow.
Make you grow.
Yeah.
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 But the regrets will make you sad for your entire life.
The rest of your life.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you so much for sharing your stories. I think we have come to almost an end to this podcast.
Yay.
I'm pretty sure we have much more to talk about, but you know, we don't want to like take up so much time. We can save some for the next episode. And thank you so much, Gaston, for joining us on Are You Okay podcast. So I hope you guys can learn something from this podcast, from our past experiences and our thoughts. And if you have something that you disagree with us, feel free to leave your comments on the comment section below. And thank you so much for watching, and thank you, Gaston, for joining me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
We will see you next time. And don't forget, Are You Okay podcast is releasing on every Wednesday by Wednesday at 9 p.m. So I'll see you guys next time.